Hey there. Happy post-New Year's, all that stuff.
I don't have to be happy about it. You can't make me.
Well, greetings.
I can't make you be happy.
But I'm not gonna. I'm real mad about it.
They say happiness is a choice, so this is your choice.
I'm choosing to be this way.
It's an internet user, a live internet user.
My name is Chad 149, and I think that your knife sucks.
Great. Mm-hmm. Can you prove this? No, but I certainly feel that way.
I certainly feel that way, and I've got to tell you all about it. Clickety clackety clickety clickety clackety clickety clack clack clack. I always think to myself when I see some of these comments. A lot of them probably don't have one, but I was going to say, if your significant other saw you doing this, what would they think about it? I'm so happy for you. I'm so glad that my person I live with is a complete idiot.
This is the conclusion I came to. I've said before how I now, more often than not, look at a thread, think about typing a response and go, the world can live without my opinions here. And choose not to share my entire life on the Book of Face or any of its offspring.
You know, it's
you got to save that for the podcast.
Yeah, I kind of came to the same conclusion. Like, you know what? I'm done talking about whether the Timmy is a tube skin or not. I'm done. I can't do it anymore. Believe it if you want. That's fine. I don't care.
You can't. I'll blame the COVID for the one day where I tried to be helpful on the internet and it just ended up being a complete shower of shockingness. I did well to avoid saying any swears there.
I see.
Yeah, see what I did there?
I do.
But yeah, talking about internet users, it's the appropriate time to give a big shout out to Ryan Burke and Steve from 60 Cycle Hum, because they took up the shield for us, Bri. They went and they did a podcast and they kind of said what we've said, which is stop blaming Wampler for the fact that people are flipping the Tumnus, the Germanium Tumnus.
Or insert or any company. Piddle,
that, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, Blake's fancy wooden EQ pedal, whatever you want to flip.
Whatever, yeah.
If you pay the silly money, people will keep buying them and flipping them at the silly money. If you don't buy them silly money, the price goes down, and then it's normal.
That's absolutely the trick to all this. If you don't pay that kind of money, the price will come down.
We saw this in real time with the Bad Monkey saga, okay?
Yeah.
We talked about this a little bit before we started recording. Josh Scott made the video. Suddenly people decided that their Bad Monkey was worth $1,000 and they posted them on Reverb. Some people bought them for these inflated prices. It caused all kinds of wackiness, but you know what you can get a Bad Monkey for now? About $90. So,
yeah, I mean,
which is a little more than it was, but it's not $1,000. You know,
I still wouldn't buy it.
I would publicly say that if a person is like, is the silver Tumnus with germanium diodes that much different than the gold, like enough to pay $600? Absolutely not. No way in the world.
Don't well, I would that. Like to correct
that's why you
there,
priced
Mr.
it where
Wambler,
you priced it in the first. Oh,
it's silver. I mean, it's beautiful. Have you seen the paint color
it
on
is,
it?
It is do beautiful.
Not, do not pay that much money for a germanium Tumnus. Don't do it. It's dumb. It's a bad use of money. Instead, invest in guitar lessons. You'll
if you thought it was that much better than the original, you would have priced it that much better. But you priced it where you priced it on purpose.
Yeah, because the diodes cost us a little bit of money to get, so we had to charge a little bit more for it.
Yeah, we charged a little
$600.
Bit more. But not, it's not that, that's that, yeah. Also see why I'll, you know, never buy multiple clones. Like,
yeah, and also, I expect the Tumnus to carry on being one of our best-selling pedals because the standard Tumnus is such a great pedal. And this is a lovely little flavor of it. It's a lovely little flavor that's got onto 38 pages on a certain gear forum over 4 weeks. So it is probably time we retire the conversation.
Is it still going on that forum?
I think it's slowly died out, Bri. Someone may just come and resurrect it with their necromancy skills at some point. But
that's true.
I think it's dead. But I actually had something really useful happen as a result of the internet this week, and it blew my mind. Well, actually, it didn't. But I was responding to some of the Wampler Pedals posts, and someone had noticed that in a post I'd made about the Ratsbane, where I'd used my Duesenberg as the backdrop for the pedal, I'd restrung it incorrectly, because there's a little stop bar and you put the strings under the stop bar and then over the bridge and then up to the fretboard. And I remember reading this in the instruction manual. Never, never, ever forget to do this thing, because it will result in punishment forever. But I forgot, and I strung it up. And remember, I was saying to you guys, it was kind of weird. I had to keep adjusting the action up because the string was slipping off when I was bending it, and I finally got it right, and it wasn't tuning right. It's because I am a massive doofus, and I'd completely forgotten. I immediately looked at a photo. I was like, he's right. I've done this incorrectly. So thank you, mysterious Wampler Pedals Facebook poster. You made me feel like I am a complete idiot, because I am. But also, it's a simple mistake to make. And I was able to quickly pop the same strings out and restring it with the same strings, which Blake is probably shuddering about right now. They've only been in it for like a week.
I've done it a million times. Don't you worry. Until, I guess this is another thing about the kind of a similar subject. I've extolled what I feel to be the virtues of locking tuners multiple times on this podcast, though most of my guitars don't have them. The few that do, I really like them. There is one problem with a locking tuner, and it is when you try to do what you're talking about. Now, you can get away with it a few times, but I've found once you've bit down on the end of your string multiple times with the locking tuner, eventually there ain't nothing to bite down on anymore, and you're going to have to replace the string.
And luckily, Duesenberg use open hole vintage style tuners with a little modification, which I really love. I actually think the vintage style tuners with the open hole that you plop the string in, I can restring one of those quicker than I can locking tuners. And that shouldn't make any sense. But once you've done it a number of times and you know how many kind of inches to cut off on each one and how to hold the string, I will say it's not true of the B and the E string. Those two always take longer on vintage tuners because you've got to wind them with tension constantly. But I generally prefer drop-in vintage style tuners these days. I'm just a
really
happy. Yeah.
Yeah. I like my locking tuners on my Tellies. I like them.
They're just so nice.
I like to put Floyd Roses on all my beep bender Tellies.
Oh, I saw something else earlier.
That's fine.
I saw a telly where the body had been modified, Bri. The telly was in two parts. I don't know whether it was a telly. It was a solid body guitar. It was in two parts, and the entire kind of bridge was on a roller, and that roller was connected to one of the parts. So if you squeezed the guitar, it would bend the pitch of all of the strings up.
And then that was crazy. I saw that.
Yeah. And I thought, there it is, Bri. There's your E to E bender that you've been looking for. You can bend whatever string you want with that. But Bri, it looked like it had been made literally using some sort of off-the-shelf parts and a couple of door hinges. And I thought, who do I know who's handy with a framing hammer and door hinges? Why? It's Mr. Wampler.
I'll need some Stanley hinges and maybe a couple doorknobs and maybe throw some L braces on that dude right there.
That's right. Gotta have the L braces.
It'll make that thing work like nothing you ever seen before, tell you what.
That's right. Stanley, I wonder if this is a phenomenon over there. Probably not.
Are you going to talk about the drinking cup?
Everyone's obsessed with the drinking cup. And I had to say,
I only learned about it today and you're talking about it. What's going? Get out of my head.
I had to sit down with my family because my wife's like, this cup, I'm not buying one because I have all these cups, but like, what? Is this like the biggest seller that Stanley's ever had? And I was like, people have no idea how huge of a company Stanley is. This cup, I'm sure, has helped their revenue. Stanley is massive. I was like, yeah. I mean, hey, this giant building we drive by over on the highway over here that says Stanley Infrastructure on the side.
Is this the same Stanley? Is it that
brand? It's the same Stanley. Yeah, the toolbox is Richard Sully. Yeah.
Toolbox. Right.
Yeah. Stanley's got tape measures. Stanley's got automatic doors that open when you go into hospitals and stores and stuff. Stanley has everything. Their main source of revenue is probably not cups. I'm
and don't
sure.
forget Bostitch. They have all kinds of power tools as well.
That's right.
But I read
they're
something.
They're a huge company.
I read something, and this is why it's kind of doing the rounds, that a friend posted that was apparently some marketing guru. And apparently this cup didn't sell well initially, but they noticed women liked it. So instead of being like, but we're Stanley, we make stuff for men, they went all in and created different colors for the ladies. And it is sold in phenomenal numbers and is their number one selling product, and the guy's a marketing genius. And the moral of the story was, you may not know when you are sitting on a golden product, which is why I'd like to tell you all about the special edition Metaverse that's coming out tomorrow. No. It is, but only in my head.
I thought you were going to go with
fluorescent green.
I'd like to tell you about this special dog collar for sale this month from styleofyourpet.com.
I mean, I'm going to be segueing like Paul Blart Mark Mall Cop here, but the UK HM, His Majesty's Revenue and Customs, today announced that eBay, Vinted, and Depop have to report information to the tax department about anyone who's making more than essentially £1,700, so about $2,000 a year on those platforms, which means if you're not recording your activity as a business, they can come after you for tax, and they'll tax you at the highest rate if you've not got anything to prove. So this could kill one of the final flipper markets, because let's face it, if you're buying a pedal for $200 and you're selling it for $600, your profit on that is vast. And the tax man wants his or her or their chunk of that money. And now eBay have to send it to the UK tax man and other European countries as well. I think it could, you know, could kind of be like what's happening with Reverb for eBay. Glad I solved my Paul Reed Smith when I did. I've only got banjos and ukuleles left.
Well, definitely don't go after larger companies that have a lot of tax sheltering and write-offs. Don't do that.
No, go for the little guy. Yeah. Every time,
so
Brian.
Much easier. So much easier.
It's infinitely
easier. Because the little guy's not going to fight.
That's right. Yeah. Don't have a lawyer, or at least not a team of lawyers. So,
right. No, they did the same thing in the U.S. last year, and then they extended it out to $20,000. And it's that way for 2023 as well. But supposedly that's the last year. Next year it's supposed to be, if you make more than $600 on any platform at all, they're going to report it. So
it's such a difficult.
Be prepared to account for that in your taxes.
It's a really difficult thing to account for, though. What if you've got something that you can't remember how much you paid for it? What do you do?
You'll have to keep track of that and itemize now.
But that is such a I can't.
You know, there's another option. There's another option.
Yes.
And it just involves kind of looking a little closer at larger businesses and maybe saying,
yeah,
I don't think we can write all that off, Mr. Bezos. I don't think we can do that.
But right. I wanted to take this very oddly shaped rocket into space.
I don't think you understand. I now own a space company. Yeah.
Therefore, I can write off the entire galaxy.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That would be some.
We need
tax
a space
return.
Exploration company. Well, that'll solve our problems.
That's the, you know what? That's exactly what we need, a Chasing Tone Space Exploration Company.
That's right. I like this. Then everything's a write-off. Mm-hmm. I see you, Bezos.
Has to be said,
I'm coming for you.
As a content creator in this industry, you are able to write off a lot of things against tax. I think the only way to improve our situation, boys, is if we also become like food content creators.
Post about pizza.
Wait a minute. So yeah, Blake's onto something here.
You think I'm doing this by accident, huh?
We need to have a food of the week discussion on the Chasing Tone podcast.
Exactly.
It's the tax write-off.
This week, we need to buy 1 week's supply of milk and butter and test our milk and butter.
You know, we have talked about milk and butter fairly extensively on this podcast, actually. My local dairy thing, we discussed the different costs, and we discussed the weird naming of your milk stores in the UK and all that stuff.
What? We don't have weird names of milk stores.
Yes, you do. Oh, look, here we're talking about it again.
Ah. Well, we can definitely write some of that off against
peanut butter.
Peanut butter and yogurt?
Actually, we'll write off some peanut butter and yogurt. That's for damn sure.
That's right. I mean,
you can write off an infinite amount of it now, and it seems Blake can write off the entire Milky Way galaxy as he's claimed ownership of that. So
I have negative money because I write
that's
it
always
off.
The best position. I mean, that reminds me of, do have negative money. Very much negative money. Please send me all your money.
Mine's because I pay bills.
Yeah. Mine's because eBay has just closed the very last source of income that I might. I don't even sell that much to probably hit that threshold, but allegedly. Just make sure that's
I love the Kramer and Seinfeld interaction when they were talking about write-offs. I don't know if you guys remember that one, but he said it's a lot of stuff, but like the gist of it is Kramer's trying to get Seinfeld to do a scam. And he's like, it's fine if it's a write-off for these big businesses. And Seinfeld says, Kramer, you don't even know what a write-off is, do you? And he says, no, but they do. And they're the ones writing it off.
It's a shame that show kind of went the path it did. I hear it's the last ever season of Curb Your Enthusiasm. So time to catch up, Bri. I think we talked about that previously.
Watch all the episodes with Leon on them.
All the episodes with Leon. So, you said some stuff last week on the Patreon. Yes, you. About some sort of 30-day guitar challenge.
Oh,
I'm not
going
to lie. I glazed over at that point because it was basically just a big advert for you making money.
No, it wasn't.
And then loads of people have contacted me.
For me giving things away.
What are you giving away and how can I get some?
If you go to our website or our YouTube channel, the Stringjoy one, we are doing we realize we talk about gear constantly on the Stringjoy channels too, which is fun and everybody loves gear. That's why we're here. But we never talk about playing really over there. It's kind of dumb, but like the main thing we do is play the guitar. So we came up with basically we're calling it a 30-day guitar challenge for like a New Year's resolution type thing. And so we're releasing a video every single day on our YouTube channel featuring my friend Eddie there in Nashville. He's a second player.
Oh, yes,
player.
I made the really distasteful joke about his name and felt like a massive knob afterwards. I'm just going to let everybody know that was real time. And if Brian didn't edit out, which he probably didn't, I apologize for being a knob last week. But, you know, I was still a little.
Only Patreon knows.
Yeah, only That's Patreon knows. That's good.
But yeah, he's a killer player and he's done a lot of stuff over the years. So we got him to put together a course for us because he's also taught guitar for like 20 years and he did a great job. And it'll be it's not just like for super advanced players or beginners. It's just good stuff to remember. Like we focus on vibrato, bending to pitch, you know, sliding into notes and just different exercises you can do like that you kind of probably gloss over. So you can go there. We're doing it every day. It's all free, and it'll be up every day during the month of January. So there you go. There's my advertisement.
That is a cool promotion. Let me ask you a question, though. Would I learn, perchance, to play the solo from a certain song about avian creature that was no longer shackled by its chains?
I'm sure you could apply some of the methodologies to accomplish your goals.
Mm-hmm. This pleases me greatly because no New Year, or at least New Year's Eve celebration, Bri, is complete without somebody asking you to play Freebird, right?
Yeah.
So tell us about the gig first while Blake gets to the whittly bits.
Sure.
Freebird! Reverb, brother, play it, reverb. Play it. Get it up. I need another Miller Lite.
Yes, there was some birds that were freed via the guitar.
You played New Year's Eve?
I did.
Mm-hmm. Where did you? I don't want to give the exact location so people can stalk you, but
give me the geographical coordinates.
Yeah. What was your latitude and longitude? But
it was a bar in central Indiana.
Excellent. Okay. What size
I've
bar?
I've mentioned it before. It's a bar in Morgantown.
Okay.
The name of the place.
Yeah. All right.
It's a little small place, so it's, you know, like a locals only sort of thing. And there's probably it was packed with maybe 40 or maybe 40 people, maybe.
Okay. I mean, that's 40 said, more
hey,
people
watch,
than watch me
give me
play
some of that
Christmas.
Freebird.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So someone just kept wanting it. And I don't have to sing it. So the guy that really kind of quote unquote runs the band, you know, in other words, he's the one.
Which band was this? Was this Ben's band or?
No. This is not Ben Gerald. This is Rick Innes, an old friend from years ago. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, years and years ago, back in the 90s, we're all from an area in Martinsville called Green Township. And there is an area within Green Township.
Hold on.
Called,
wait a minute. Martinsville's big enough to have areas?
Well, technically, I'm from an area called Cope, but there's like no post office or anything.
Cope.
Seriously. COPE. And there's no, like, it's not an official town.
I got you. Okay. Yeah.
But anyway, so the part of this town is called Skunk Holler. And so
you're from a place called
Skunk Holler Band.
Greentown and a place called Skunk Holler. Skunk Holler is in Greentown, right? I'm just checking.
Green Township. It's a township.
Township.
Right, so Skunk Holler is in Green Township. Is it next to Northern Lights and Cali Kush Hills?
And Maui Wowie Valley?
Maybe. No, I mean, because it's very hilly here. It's not flat like most of Indiana. It's more like southern, like Kentucky, like northern Kentucky.
Okay.
And so there's, you know, a lot of hollers. And there's an area that's called Skunk Holler. Because mm-hmm. there's apparently a lot of skunks back in the day.
Sure.
Years ago, back, you know, in the 1800s. So, and bears, there were bears here too at that time. Anyways, so we created the Skunk Holler Band. And just, you know, on and off over the years, we get together and just play a little thing here or a little thing there. Nothing major. Like, we don't play out every weekend. Maybe two or three times a year. Probably three or four times a year.
But here is my question to you. When was the last time you'd played that solo?
Probably. It may have been several different New Year's before that. It might have been several years ago.
So
it's been a while.
How well would you say you know that solo? Like, if I know, asked you, what percentage of the exact same notes did you hit? What percentage would you give me?
Okay, so let me just set the scene here. So this is a song that none of us like to play
in the band.
Like, we just don't like to play it. It's gets to be kind of a boring and song to play. Anyways, so I usually do like the first minute of the actual solos. And then after that, like, I get completely bored and I start just spacing off and thinking about other things. And so I just start doing, you know, little licks and little country stuff and, you know, just anything but the actual solo, because the actual solo repeats itself so much. I do that part, but I don't do the ending parts, just because.
So you stick with the key phrases. You make sure the key phrases are there. Because what my guitar teacher always tells me is, if you're playing the solo to like a guitar person song, you know, a song that us guys who love the guitar would know, but maybe our partners may gloss over when we take them out. He's like, the least you can do is play them an accurate solo so they know they're hearing something they've heard before.
Yeah.
But there are obviously lots of songs where...
Yeah, so we do Sweet Home Alabama, for example, and I play those solos verbatim.
Right.
I play them exact.
But there because are lots of songs to. As well where you just get to right a place. Yeah. Another good example is All Right Now by Free, which is actually a really simple solo. But if you don't play it note for note and it changes slightly between the single and the album version, you may as well not bother with the whole song because it really is like
it's part
everything.
Of the song. It's too much of a part of the song, yeah.
Whereas with something like Back in Black, I think it's like Freebird. You can kind of do the first bit, which everyone's waiting for. Then you can kind of go up to where you feel like playing, make it sound really, really awesome, and then go back to where Angus was playing. And I think it still sounds good enough to most casual observers. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's also a lot more fun to play like that because I'm with you. It's so dull. Like to play like the Hotel California solo, like note for note, is a lot of work and I get bored of it. I want to just go off and do my own thing, but I'll always come back for the widdly widdlies at the end. Good. Well, I'm glad you got to see Freebird. Have you seen the guy playing Freebird on the drums? He's got like a set of highly tuned...
Oh boy, have I got sent that.
Yeah, likewise. Thank you all 348 people for sending that to us.
Yes,
it's lovely.
I do appreciate it.
But it's a great bit of drumming. It shows you how musical a good drummer can be.
It was very impressive.
And I think next time you do the Freebird solo, Bri, I want you to play that version.
I don't know if I've seen that. I'm not sure what you're talking about.
Nobody
I'll
sent
have to
you
send
that?
It to you. Hmm. Just
no,
you
I,
and me,
I've
Blake.
Been making an effort to kind of stay away from the general internet. Like
from the world, really, Bri. I mean, I get a notification on my phone every morning, which tells me Brian's username. I will, for anonymity's sake, I will randomize the username. So it tells me that Chunky Peanut Butter Lover 42 is online. And that happens every single
day. Are you thinking
day.
Xbox?
Yeah. Yeah.
You're thinking Xbox? So, yeah. When I come in for the night, I play a few games of Xbox.
Just
play a
few.
Little bit of a Shipmas on... Modern Warfare 3.
I haven't played Modern Warfare for 2 months, Bri. I've been I've been playing State of Decay 2, which is a zombie killing, like building, stealing vehicles game with my friend Chris from school, and I love it. It's brilliant. So much fun.
Never heard of it.
It's an
I haven't
older game,
played
but
Modern
it checks
Warfare
out.
In like 17, 18 years.
Which is amazing because I don't think it was even out then.
That's why I haven't played it for that at least that long.
I am worried about how old I am, and this will get worse, by the way, as both Brian and I are facing significant birthdays over the next 24 months. But I threw away a box over Christmas. Exciting podcast content.
I love that. Yeah. What kind of box was it?
It was a box full of padded envelopes that I used for my eBay business.
Really?
I still had some of the padded envelopes, and the box was from 2014. And I looked at it and went, this box is 10 years old now. This is terrible. I am just a massive hoarder. At least I used words similar to hoarder, I'm sure. Anyway, enough about my
what
exciting
What color was the box?
What about this box?
Yeah, how many plies of cardboard are we talking
about? Boutique boxing here. Yeah.
It was 2-ply. It was corrugated. It was approximately 2 foot. By 8 inches by 8 inches.
You'd have now, to was ship it U that corrugation or was it V corrugation?
Because that's important. Yeah.
Oh, so over here in Britain, we use B corrugation. So everything looks like it's a little British symbol. I'm lying.
That's funny. We use a eagle corrugation here.
That's
so
right.
We call it freedom shape. Corrugation.
Use AR-15 shaped corrugation.
Oh my God.
I didn't go out on New Year's Eve this year. I mean, we weren't feeling great. So I finished off a bottle of single malt and watched Jules Holland's Hootenanny. Do these words mean anything to you, Bri?
A bottle of single malt? Yeah, that means something to me.
Right, good. Fine.
Mm-hmm. I have no reference. Idea what in the hell you're talking about.
Right. No. Are you aware of who Jules Holland is? Do you know who Jules Holland is?
Nope.
Let me tell you firstly, you would love him. He is a British boogie-woogie piano player, very famous for playing with pretty much everybody, but he has played in the band Squeeze and some other famous acts, but he's famous for having a rhythm and blues orchestra, which he tours around playing, you know, good music. And he has every year a New Year's Eve show where he brings guests on. And every year I get new artists by watching it and then forget to check them out in the following year. I just like add them on to my playlist and then never listen to them. But it's like a British tradition.
No.
So what?
No.
That's how we see the clock come in for New Year's Eve if we're not out. Me and Anna will be watching that show. Suddenly it will go 10 and then count down to the traditional number of zero. And then the Pipers will come out and then it's New Year's Eve. What do you guys get?
I don't know.
Drunk?
I was quite drunk.
Hammered.
I was dancing.
Yeah.
But so
we got the Dick Clark's New Year's Rockin' Eve thing, but it's honestly I think his name's probably Richard, actually. Okay. But yeah,
I like him already.
It's when you hear people talk about, and I know you're gonna make a joke about this, the ball drops, and then like everyone's like, hey, Happy New Year. And I don't know. I've watched that like twice, and it's only because I was sick and couldn't like go do anything on New Year's. But
oh well, when you're older, that will become a regular thing because that's where
you'll do that more and more as you get older.
I'm not gonna watch that honestly. I've watched it. I've watched it enough. I'm like, I don't want to watch that. I'd rather just watch the clock tick over midnight and be like, yay, and eat some cheese.
But Brian, didn't you experience some weirdness?
I did. Yeah. At the time I didn't think much of it until I started seeing other people talking about it.
Okay.
So we just got done playing Freebird
playing what again?
Nothing. Just a song, this long song by Skinner.
All right. One per episode.
So we're getting ready to, Skinner Ready to Turn to Midnight. So the band's looking at their phones, and all our phones turn to midnight, like, Happy New Year's. And there's a TV on in the bar showing, like, the Dick Clark thing, and the ball hadn't dropped yet. So we're all, like, looking around going, what in the world's going on? Like, 2 minutes later, it drops, and we're all looking at each other like, what? That was weird. Like, why did our phones turn so much earlier than what the TV did? Usually there's like a 7 or 10 second second lag. And so anyways, then like the next day I started seeing other people comment about like, why'd the ball drop so late? My phone turned and like 2 or 3 minutes later, then the ball dropped.
Hmm.
But when I went to try to find any information on it, I could find no information on any of the official websites or no news coverage about it. Nothing.
What were you searching? Were you searching for Dick Ball Drop Late? Because let me tell you, that is not going to get you the search results I feel you were looking for, my friend.
I didn't find any news at all. I found some other stuff, but not news.
I found some other stuff, and you know what? I don't know if I was irritated about it or turned on slightly.
Some combination of both, I'm sure.
A little bit of both, actually.
That's just not the information I was looking for. Oh.
Well.
So the TV was just delayed. Fine, I get it. Let me ask you, though. So I posted a picture today.
But like 2 minutes, though, that's no. Richard, that is really weird.
That is, you're like, usually it's a 7 second thing.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. For some reason, there was a big, huge delay at the biggest festival, not festival, the biggest
New Year's Eve celebration?
New Year's Eve celebration.
In the country. Yeah. It's weird because the 2 times that I've sat around and watched that, it has been about 7 to 10 seconds delayed, which is ever since the Janet Jackson incident.
Just in case anybody has a boob exposed.
That's right.
Right.
Like
right.
me. It's always possible. So that's been pretty normal, but 2 minutes is a long time. That's a while.
It was like weird because think about it, you're on stage. You're like, I thought like, it should have happened by now. And so we're all just standing around. In fact, I got it on film. Like we're all just standing around looking at each other on film. Look at me. I got it on the VCR camera. no, I was recording my phone because it was so weird.
It's funny because
like,
it's true.
We're all just like looking at each other like, what in the hell's going on? Like, what do we do now? We thought it would be New Year's, and apparently it's not New Year's now.
Dick Clark didn't say it was New Year's.
You know, I think some people just put America on pause for 2 minutes. That's all.
Well, the conspiracy theorists have, you know, different ideas about what may have happened.
Dude, but I mean, I'll let you Google that. I've told you, you know, I know a few conspiracy theorists. They 1 minute they're talking about tinfoil hats, the next minute it is literally the earth is flat, bricks can melt, the entire world was run by giants. It's a rabbit hole or a giant hole. But what I'm interested in, Bri, is the pedal board mm-hmm. that you took with you. Because I posted a picture on the Wampler Pedals group tag.
Did you do a before and after?
Yeah.
Yeah, I figured you'd do like a before and after sort of
fine.
Thing.
That's okay. Because then I looked at it as like, I wonder if he was just showing me that he's using those prototype pedals as opposed to let's put them out in the public because they're public.
Well anyway, you public. Did blur though, right?
It is quite blurry. Okay, you can't. If you can zoom in and see, I mean, look, people who listen to this show know what we're working on. We haven't made a big secret about it.
You know what, though? I did get the coolest thing happened right before this on New Year's, actually. Actually, that was a set before. So about a hour before. You know, like, it's just, things are going fine. But then something happened that really raised my spirits tremendously.
Did I just write that paragraph for you?
My new good friend, Scotty Hill from Skid Row, texted me and said, Happy New Year's.
I
did the little happy dance. It's almost, it's just almost so close to like George Lynch doing it because both of them like really influenced me a lot. So yeah, it was a good thing. It inspired me to continue to play the Freebird solo in the vein of Scotty.
I
did you
like
tape
that.
Your phone to your head so everyone could see who it was who texted you? You should have done.
I didn't tell anybody, but I had to tell you guys.
Almost the same thing happen, you know? Except it was Derek from Revamps, but, you know.
I had almost the same thing happened, except it was nobody and no messages were sent. But it's almost exactly the same thing.
You celebrate Happy New Year at that wrong time, though. That's the problem.
The cool thing is Scotty is a big fan of DIY pedals. He builds a lot of pedals.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Perhaps he should talk to the English King of Fuzz, because I know a thing or two. It has to be said. I do know.
Let's see. One or two little things. Don't say anything else. Hold on. Just try
all peasants shall now kneel before the British King of Fuzz. Please include your tariff of 4 transistors in the bucket beyond the moat. We will be out to fetch them forthwith.
BC 108, please.
Any peasants found withholding their required tax shall be force-fed nothing but Nickelback for the remainder of the year.
Look, we've had some bad kings in this country, but nobody would be that cruel. I mean, the funny thing is, Blake, is if you come to this country, like when they do the state opening of Parliament, they do actually speak like that after some trumpets have been played. So,
I know. I've been there.
It's real, Bri. We're not taking the mickey. But going back to your gigging board, Bri, I mean, it hasn't really changed as much as it looks.
What?
Two pedals are exactly the same from 2016.
Let's see. Which pedals
the
do we have?
The Boss EQ and the Tuner pedal, they have not changed.
Yes. Well, actually, that's a newer version of the Tuner, I think. That's the same one. Yeah, so it's an ST300 from Sonic Research because that's my favorite tuner.
And it's the
Boss GE7 because I love it. It's classic.
I mean, Brian, can I just ask you the question that is on surely everybody's lips right now? Is why aren't you making your own version of that Boss graphic equalizer?
EQs don't sell. They're not sexy enough.
And you heard it here
first. Yeah, because you did do it, the Equator at one point.
Which is different type of
It's EQ, semi-parametric, really. Which is honestly a little more controllable, but what I found out is it's very confusing to a lot of people. So, yeah, at the end of the day, like, maybe I'll do an EQ later, but I want to wrap it up with something else, not just an EQ pedal.
An EQ and a ring mod.
An EQ and a talk box.
Now we are talking.
Yeah. Ah,
literally.
Oh, look at that.
Quick thing I want to mention. Did you guys see that Davidas has a Funko, like, custom puppet made of him? A Funko Pop. Yeah. I mean, I guess, you know, if you buy enough of them, like, we could probably get a Blake one made. Wait a minute. I've just had the world's greatest idea.
Have you?
But yeah, that was that was an amusing thing to see. It's quite a good-looking Funko. He's quite a good-looking man. But what I do want to talk about before we delve into anything
before we move on real quick, can I go back just a little bit? Because there's something I forgot to mention.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, okay.
About the pedal board situation. Yeah.
What?
So I was going to bring a deluxe reverb to the gig. Because it's traditional country. You know, the other guy's using a Princeton. I didn't want to... I have a... a Tyler amp that's kind of like a Princeton type of thing. Because I didn't want to use the exact same amp, but I still want it to be blackface-y. So I was going to bring my deluxe reverb. It's worked forever for the past 15 years. I go in to plug it in before I take off. It decides it's not going to work anymore. I'm like, oh, great. So what am I going to do now? So I ended up pulling out a brown-face deluxe reverb clone that we used to make called the Coyote. I only made like 5 of them or something. And put it in there, and it works fantastic for what we were doing. And then the pedal that worked the best that surprised me was the Bell based on the Nobles. So I'm sitting there thinking, like, we need to, as a company, I would like to do a deluxe version of that, but I don't know what options.
I think everybody would like you to do a deluxe version. I can tell you what options I would add to a deluxe version of a Bell. You'd need to basically add an extra 2 knobs to it, though, Bri.
Like what? Like EQ knobs? Like just do a standard bass, mids, and treble again?
You'd have to add a Tumnus gain knob and a Tumnus treble knob, because I would add a Tumnus to the Bell, and that would be my Bell deluxe. Because those two pedals together... A lot of pedals stack great with the Tumnus, stack great with the Ego. There is something really magical about a Tumnus and a Bell together. Really magical. And
You're talking a dual pedal.
I want 2 switches. I want a Tumnus circuit. I want a Bell circuit. I want a clean blend between the two. And it must be remote controlled and helicopter available.
But then you run into, well, how many times are you going to remake a Tumnus? So you got this Tumnus, you got it in the gearbox, you got it in this, you got it in that, you got it in this.
I mean, we could tweak the Tumnus.
And that too.
But yes, a Bell Deluxe, I think we should talk about that off this. I think
if you do that, the thing you should probably do is not do it and make a new Leviathan. Sorry, did I say that out loud?
You did say
I
that.
I could do a little bit.
So, before we go on to the next, there are other topics that we're going to have to miss. I love the fact that you're using the gearbox to replace your Pinnacle and Tumnus, though, Bri, because that's what it's there for, right?
It's the perfect thing for what I do. Yeah, but it's great.
I noticed you had the Electric Love.
Aquatone.
I think we also need to make our own version of that once he's stopped making money for charity.
It feels a lot like doing an Underdog. That circuit was for a specific reason. Now maybe I add it with something else, but to do the exact same thing.
What about if you added it to a Bell? What if we had a blues driver Bell? We'll call it the Bell Driver. Oh no, that sounds rude. maybe that's just me
over there.
The Bluebell. We could call it the Bluebell, Bri. Oh my God! I've just come up with the greatest.
Not to be confused
ever.
With the Dry Bell. Right.
No, I mean
I'm 80% sure there is a Bluebell pedal already.
Yes, but is it blue?
Well, I mean, no matter what name you come up with, there's a 95% chance someone else has already.
That's true.
There is.
This is true.
But no, nice board, Bri. There was something on there which no one's commented about yet, and if they do, I'll be intrigued to see what they say. But anyhow, I got to give a shout out to this Red Witch thing that went on. I don't know whether you guys have seen it, but I guess it's the owner. I don't know who the owner of Red Witch is. But I think his father passed away. And so as a tribute to him, he released 60 one-of-a-kind Falcor pedals. And each one had a different picture of his dad, like as a graphic on it. And I think as a tribute, like if my daughter did that for me after I passed away, I think that's beautiful. What is really beautiful is all the pictures he's picked look amazing and kind of tell a story. And, you know, we talk about the sharp end of the business a hell of a lot, but let's go back to basics. We're selling toys and he's made wonderful toys to pay tribute to someone he loves. And I think that is absolutely stunning. And I utterly commend Red Witch Pedals for doing this.
Yeah, and they did it every single one is unique too, not just in the graphic, but he's made some tweaks to the circuits as well. And nice. It's a modulation pedal, if I remember correctly. Is that right? It's a chorus, I think, or a phaser. Yes. I can't remember now. I saw it briefly and then it was an ad and it went away and I didn't re-Google until...
It's an all analog-y, chorus-y modulation pedal, I think. Chorus and tremolo are probably, you know, cousins, let's just say. So sure. It's probably a very modulated chorus pedal.
But I like that everyone's unique and that everyone has its own unique picture and... Once it's done, it's done. I thought it was a really cool idea as well. I don't know anyone over there, but I still like the idea.
Cool. I honestly, very rarely does a story actually pull on my heartstrings. I think the last one that really made me... obviously we know about Ben and Electric Love. I think the time that Brian accidentally bought crunchy instead of smooth peanut butter was the last time I felt this emotionally charged by an event. But... No, these are
and
awesome.
I believe it's called the Falcor. And if I remember the story correctly, it's because his kids called their grandpa
Falcor. Oh, I'd missed that, but that is so, so cool. Oh, yes, he's the Luck Dragon from Never Ending Story. Brilliant.
Yes.
Honestly.
Yep, I think they would like ride on his shoulders or something and pretend to be Falcor or something like that.
These have already sold out. And if they haven't, listeners, you should go and buy one because this is pedal history right here. Don't buy a Tumnus Germanium from a scalper on eBay unless his name is Ollie 2000. Then, yeah, go and buy whatever he's selling. Yeah, so that was awesome. A couple of other very quick things before we got to wrap this one up. I saw MXR have released today, in fact, a new Echo pedal called the Joshua, which I guess is named after U2's The Joshua Tree and not after Joshua Heath Scott of JHS Pedals. But I'm going to say they're going to grab some of the SEO attention from the latter. So I'd like to hereby announce the brand new OnePlus JHS 3 series.
I love this strategy. Oh, that's a great strategy. Yeah.
Right. So anyhow, we need to get on to the patron show. Bri, we need to talk about TikTok. Oh, I didn't mention, I sent you guys a little snippet of me playing some guitar with my cousin the other day.
Yeah, that was great. A bit of Floyd going on.
It wasn't perfect. I messed up a few times, but it was lovely because the bass guitar he was playing was my my Japanese jazz bass, which his brother, my cousin Viv, who passed away sadly a couple of years ago, always used to play when he came over. I mean, like for the last 10 years or whatever. And when he passed away, I don't know whether you remember the story, but I put a customized laser etched backplate that's got like a photo I took of Viv on it and Shine On You Crazy Diamond. So that bass has extra special mojo. And Paul was playing that. I was on the guitar and Pink Floyd were on the vocals, I guess.
very nice.
It was a lot of fun. And something else. Today is the first time I've picked up a guitar in a week. I literally have had a week off the guitar. And you know what? I sounded absolutely magnificent. I played some stuff.
I believe it.
You know what? I think there's something to be said for taking a break, guys. Especially if you're doing lessons.
Yeah, like refocuses your brain in a way, like resets things.
Dude, like I was able to play licks that I've been thinking about for years, but I just never had the space to process. And suddenly those licks came out and like I fluffed one of my solos And instead of doing what I normally do, which is go, I just like, I glossed over. I found some new notes that worked even better. I was like, Jimi Hendrix, what did you know about the guitar? Dude, I sounded magnificent. So I don't know whether it's ear fatigue, whether it's your brain fixing stuff over the downprint, but all guitarists, I would say, take a week off. Every year, take a week off and come back and tell me if your playing's improved. And if it has, it's $500 to Ollie 2000 on eBay. Oh no, wait a minute, HMRC will tax me. You can send it to the Brian Oliver Trust for Blakes. How about that?
Trust for Wayward Blakes.
Help me, I'm lost.
All right, well, let me give a huge shout out to our executive producers real quick. All we have a long list of them. This list is growing. This is great.
I love
people
you
are
all.
Digging the Patreon. You know?
Yeah, and this is just the executives.
They're going to dig this one because we have got some good subjects, Brian. Not only are we going to be talking about Moravec's paradox, we're going to be talking about the Mandela effect. Oh, my God. Anyway, read away, Brian.
All right. Bill Bays, Justin Burke, David Tindall, Knight Haas, Dave Trombetti, Shannon Weaver and the band Reduced to Rust, Eric Wilson, Radar Frosted, Michael Freer, Sean Arbo of Gun Street Wiring, Rick Calhoun of Honeypicks, Patrice Fournays, Dylan Toxtone, Scientific Uppercut, Kevin Harrington, Barry from Grez Guitars, Tom Kelly, Jake Young from the Man the Helm podcast, Pigsy, John O'Neill, Robert Carr, Hunter Hudson, Rob Stokes, El Jibarito? Is that right? El
Jibarito? That's what the username says.
All right.
Hopefully that's not a word that we're not supposed to say. I don't know.
Don't know what that means. Maybe it means Telecaster in Spanish or something. Nick Spano, Sasha Sir, Jay Stratton, Seth Williford, Harry Post, Grumpy Mike, Harvey Pedals, Allison Carroll, Patrick Zeller, Bum Laser, Anthony Stevens, Chris Brown, Philip Carter of the 40 Watt Podcast, Mark Bauman, Bowman, that gets me every time.
I think it's Bauman.
Is it Bauman?
I think.
Mark Bauman?
Yeah.
That's what you are now, Mark. Mark Bauman. Christopher Logan and Jason Englehart. And we'll see you on Patreon.
Oh, wait, one quick thing. A jibarito is a Cuban sandwich made with plantains instead of bread, and it sounds delicious.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
That's almost as good as Telecatchers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening to the Chasing Dome podcast. As always, if you have any comments, questions, or concerns, you can email podcast@wamplerpedals.com, and I'll personally get your email. To email Blake, simply email info@tonemob.com, and Richard can be reached at richard@wamplerpedals.com. If you'd like to show your support for the show, the simplest and free way to do that is to share this podcast with a friend, leave a review and a rating wherever you normally get your podcasts. Also, check out Blake's podcast called The Tone Mob. And make sure you check out WamplerPedals.com for blogs, videos, and of course, guitar effects. If you'd like to hear the post-podcast conversations and to get even more content, twice the amount of podcast episodes, simply check out our Patreon at patreon.com/ChasingTonePodcast. Thanks for listening. Talk to you next week.